Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. It's your boy Chidalu, and here we are, Obe. Obe, how far now?
How far, man? What's going on?
Nothing much. I mean, I saw you yesterday, so.
Not yesterday, but yeah.
It's been a long weekend. Lucky. Actually, short.
So. I mean, it was kind of short, yeah. Most of the games were on Saturday. Even the Sunday game, I don't know. It was kind of. We'll get into the details, but yeah, at least Arsenal is making it top of the table going into Christmas, so that's a positive to take in.
Apparently, I was looking for like positives why this season is different, but they're telling that this is what happens every season. Apparently, that we've been first.
Mm-hmm. Apparently,
multiple times. I guess they just want to kill our hoops. Where do we?
It's looking scary, but man, Saliba is back, so there's not much you can complain about, really.
Yeah, I guess we can start with Arsenal, the Arsenal's game.
Was
it a fun watch for you? Because it wasn't for me.
I think I'm just starting to get maybe not bored of the play, because I mean that's how we maintain possession, but. I thought by now there will be other styles of play. Maybe the ball will be moved quicker. But it still seems to just be the same pattern. Like, our defense is incredibly good at, like, starting the build-up. And they have the composure. So maybe that's part of what is slowing down the pace. But when the ball, like, there are times when the ball will get into the midfield, you know, I see Odegaard with the ball, I see all these other people with the ball. And it's like they are still doing these things that the defenders are doing. And I'm not saying like, you know, of course, you can't just be bombing balls forward. You need to keep possession. You need to be coordinated and stuff. But like, it's just too slow for me. And especially when we know most teams are going to try to play low block. That yesterday, Saturday's game, I don't think Everton was even really playing out too defensive. We were just too slow in attacking and they would just drop back. That's what Arsenal does too. Everybody draws back. And, you know, it's all attack, all defense. So if you waste so much time before you make it to the opponent's half, and then you spend all this time dilly-dallying, and then not much comes out of it, it's like, is that really what we want to keep watching for 90 minutes going forward, on and on, like week in, week out? I don't think it's... I mean, yeah, they are saying we're getting the difficult points now, but I don't just think it's sustainable. Our defense looks to still be good. They kept the clean sheets, you know, Saliba being back. So I have more confidence in there, but our attack just looks like they're not gunning, bro. Like, they look like they lack that firepower that I was expecting with this new addition of, you know, obviously, Blackores and Eze, which I haven't seen too much of him.
Blackores or Blackores?
Yeah, I'm calling him Blackores. Nah, that's his new name, bro. Up until he starts moving, like, you know, he's melted off of all the extra weight and extra body, man. That guy moves like a block, bro. I can't even, like, it's obvious. The play, watching him and watching other strikers, like, you know, Diakitike. I'm not saying, obviously, I don't even think Gyökeres is even terrible. You know, I think he's just finding it hard to adapt to the system. But at the same time, it's clear when you even see the other options on the board, it's like, bro, these guys, they pass the eye test way better than Gyökeres does. And, you know, initially I was giving him the benefit, like, you know, eye test is not everything. Like, I didn't want him to just come for eye test. He didn't look the most aesthetically appealing initially. One thing I thought it was coming was come and be firing the goals. And I mean, he took the penalty well. It was a very good penalty. So I still have a little bit of hope. But I just need an attack to start doing way more, because getting a penalty, winning a penalty, lucky handball, and it's like we even considered a penalty there also that we're lucky that VAR didn't call it. So it's like, we can't keep doing this, man. Like, this attack, at some point, teams are going to find a way to draw with us. And considering that's all Man City needs to take the top, I fear that how we're playing right now is just, we're just playing the cards into their hands, obviously. So, yeah. Well, what about you? How do you feel about the game?
I agree with you in terms of our build-up being a bit too slow. It could be quicker. Although, I think it could be quicker for sure. But I felt was a bit, I saw more positive moments in our patterns of play yesterday than in previous games, like in Wolves and the rest. I think I saw some nice plays on the right with Saka and sometimes on the left as well with Trossard, but not consistently. I think we could have easily won that game 3-0, even granted we scored a penalty to win. Like, even removing, taking out the penalty, I think we should have scored. But I just think we are lacking consistent quality in the attack right now. And they are not fluid yet at all. So, but yeah, the defense was good. In terms of how we play, when you made a good point in terms of like when we are building up, we always give teams the time to like set up their defensive shape. So we rarely ever see like situations where I rarely see Arsenal get one-on-one, because I know we play the same kind of position play that Man City plays, but I see City get so I don't know if that is our I'm still not sure whether what's the problem is, whether is Gyökeres our striker or just how we build up, because
I mean
we never seem to get clear on goal as much as I want.
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to be, you know, the Odegaard hitter here, but I think he has a part to play in that. I think, I don't know if that is the decision from Arteta for him to, like, you know, play deeper, have, like, Califeria and the defenders, like, overlap first before he, like, organizes. Maybe that is a style of build-up play. But it's, like, yeah, sometimes he made some of those link-up plays to Gyökeres in the Everton game where, you know, it was a good pass. I saw Gyökeres make the run. And, you know, even though they blocked the shot, I could see Gyökeres was, like, if they actually didn't mark this guy, and he shot that ball on goal, it would be like a chance on target or even a goal. So there's those glimpses when Odegaard releases the ball. But it's how many times does he release the ball quick enough? Because before you do and you turn and you know, yes, he's controlling the play. Yes, he's controlling the midfield. But I think it's about being able to differentiate when you need to do that and when you need to be quicker. I think it also plays into the defense. Like sometimes, you know, we have our defenders really inviting the pressure and waiting for guys to really push up. But sometimes Raya, he can make a pass, but this nigga will put the ball out. Like, he knows what he's doing. It's like inviting pressure. So you need to be able to time those sequences better, I would say, from Odegaard's part, because it's like our main creative outlet, to be honest. So
I liked how we played out of defense, though. We looked very confident in that, doing that like yesterday. Like I saw Raya give some defense. Defense splitting passes all the way from his 18, and then Saliba, and we looked
better. Job at that build up. It's just what we do after that.
Yeah,
is boring.
Yeah. I can't even like your point about Odegaard. I noticed something. I don't know whether it's been happening or it was just yesterday. Like, because I always wondered. Oh, yeah, he drops deep a lot. Because I was watching a lot of his clips recently from 2023. He seems to play the game a lot differently now than he did like 2-3 seasons ago. He does it a lot more. And I think Saka enters those central spaces a lot more than usual.
Yeah, so that's true.
It looks like he's dropping deep to allow Zubimendi and Saka actually invert into those spaces. More when he does that, those guys cut in a lot. I don't know if he's getting more of a freer role now than before.
I see that. Yeah, I saw Saka definitely. I didn't see Kata Saka cutting as much as I saw like in this past couple games, which is fair. But it's like, it's not just Saka. You need to be finding your careers, because that is the man that. But we already know Saka is going to do his thing. He's going to be consistent. We already know, you know, the kind of balls that he can give Trossard or Saka. But I think he and Gyökeres' connection is what I'm just talking about specifically. Like, I think their connection needs to be deeper. I think he even has a better connection, honestly, with Martinelli playing as a striker. Yeah. Because he knows how to give him those balls. But Gyökeres, I don't know. It just seems like it's either it takes too long. There was even one run that Gyökeres made, the one where I think they defended him at the end. But Gyökeres made that run, and he had to even hold himself back to, like, stay onside before this guy released the ball. And then the defender ended up catching up with him. And I'm like, bro, it's a thing of psyche, like once you cut in, you see that your guy is moving and you just lay the ball off. You don't have to be waiting for your guy to put his whole body up and every defender can see him that is open before you now lay the ball off. Like, it's too late at that point. So
I think most of this might be tactics too, maybe just how this Arteta actually wants us to play in terms of Odegaard dropping deep and how often he releases the ball. Because I was looking at the stats between like Haaland and Odegaard. Maybe it's tactics, or maybe it's just built up chemistry over played together. Because I don't think he wastes that much time to play like Haaland through for Norway. And also, I also noticed in Norway he has a lot more license to operate in the right central midfield than the left central midfield. He's not stuck to the right as he is in Arsenal. So that might also be a factor as well. Or maybe also Haaland and Gyökeres, of course, they are different levels of quality.
So, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's a couple of things. It definitely, like the style of play, I see maybe this could be like from the manager. Arteta doesn't want him to waste too many balls, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just boring, in my own opinion. Like the games, like I can't stand like watching it. Like we'll build up and then I see us attack and then, you know, we'll dilly-dally on the ball for like 5 minutes. And then we'll finally get a shot away and I'm like, bro, that was one attack. I watched my use game. I mean, we'll get into my use game, but the way I saw Queen, bro, these niggas don't waste the bro. Boom, 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 boom. They've taken the shots. They are going back again. Like Arsenal will pack everybody in for like 5 minutes. We'll be tapping. Yes, the build-up play is not even looking as nice anymore. That is another thing that is even frustrating. Because if you are tapping, right, and you soak your opponent in, and you are doing those intricate 1-2s, you are splitting the ball, you know, you are flicking the ball. Obviously, I will enjoy watching that, but when it's the same, we'll dilly-dally and we'll go to the right wing, and Saka will do his left leg cross into the back post. And, you know, if nobody catches it, boom, the attack is over. It's like, bro, how many times are we going to watch this sequence, bro?
I feel like I was more stressed than bored than anything. I wanted to score a goal.
At the end of the game, I was stressed because, like, it was 1-0. And I even thought we were going to score. I have the TV. I was just checking on live score. It's like, bro, if I see them score on this TV, I can break the TV. So let me just watch on my phone to the end because, yeah. But
one more thing, dude. I definitely feel like we could have upped our tempo up again if we wanted to. It felt that way a little bit. And I saw that, you know, the time where Trossard hit the bar, there was a time period of the game where you had like flurry of attacks where you knew that, okay, yeah, this guy's going to score a goal, sharp, sharp. But then it kind of settled down a bit. I think part of it might be not trying to like waste that much energy, exert that much energy, because, you know, playing against these very, very strong teams, we always exert way more energy like Tottenham or even Bayern. Maybe we are not trying to do too much against Everton, just not to.
Our first.
We'll have tough games coming up. So
exert energy or not, as a striker, in terms of exerting energy, I get what you mean. Like, if the game is a physical game, if it's like, you know, it's a game where you're. But we don't even play that kind of back and forth. Most of the time, we are on the ball. We are tapping the ball. So I don't think it's as physical, at least that game. I get what you mean, but I think those games are the kind of games where City will get in and they'll back for goals. City will go in there. And, you know, you don't be hearing City having all these problems of low block. And I don't think it's because teams try not to play low block against them. I just think it's because they can't. Because City, if you try to play the low block, they'll give Haaland on the counter and he's going to score you. So we just need to have more styles of play, in my opinion, if we want to be serious. But yeah, that's all for Arsenal for me.
Yeah, okay. I mean, who was your man of the match, though?
Man of the match, I mean, obviously, in my opinion, was Dex. Declan Rice he's giving Saka performances at this point, like week in, week out. Just making everything look so easy. And I just love that about that guy, honestly, because he's one of the few guys that have been like consistent this season. I can't even talk shit on him. He's been amazing this entire season. So yeah, Declan Rice for sure.
Yeah, he was definitely, he's always playing well at this point. Maybe that's probably why I'll give my man of the match to Saliba. Saliba looked just so cool. I saw him break a lot of like attacks. Easily. It didn't look like he was stressed at all. He and Timber did pretty well in defense, even though there were some hairy attacking moments of that guy. What are you doing? But he looked very, very solid as well. I think Timber was good. Saliba was good. But yeah, I will agree that Dex is probably, the best, but just let me just give it to another person. If I would say Saliba. Saka was good though. It's just that I wanted to see my end product. He was good. I didn't see end product from him. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know Namdi's here. Namdi, do you have any opinions or any thoughts on the Arsenal game? Is he actually here? Or just he's just observing. Anyway, maybe he's not on his desk at his desk. Let's move on to Chelsea's game. 2-2. That was the first game of the day. Probably the most high profile fixture on Saturday.
Yeah.
Newcastle versus Chelsea. I actually predicted a draw. But I was much to my delight. I saw 2-0 early on. I was like,
I predicted a win for Newcastle because the way those guys move at home is different, bro. Like that their stadium, which was the name of their stadium, Seth? Park, St. James Park. If you go to that place and you have Bruno G, you have Gordon, you have all those guys, they have superpowers over there. So, and kudos to Chelsea, sure. I think Chelsea is one of those teams where they can always have a fighting chance, which is maybe because of their talent pool. But you could see Cole Palmer, even what is his name, man? Rich James popped a free kick too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys have some firepower, I can't even lie. The way they are looking this season. It's just I think Chelsea, I don't know what kind of deals they did over this summer, but it's their deals messed them up more. Because I can't imagine this Chelsea, Cole Palmer coming back, Pedro Neto, the way James is playing. And then they now have, we're roasting Jackson there, but if they have Jackson up front now, with João Pedro as his false nine there with him, man, I feel Chelsea would probably be better off. Even though they're not having a bad season, they would probably have been better off if, some of those transfers were not made, or maybe they have better transfers. But overall, Sha, for them coming back on Newcastle at St. James Park, kudos to them. Newcastle played amazing, bro. Gordon was a little off, which, to be honest, I used to rate Gordon before, but I think after his injury, he's become a little shaky. Maybe he's still recovering. But the Watermelon guy, and then they have Wissa too coming off the bench. Those guys, they actually have some nice players. Yeah, Newcastle has some pretty nice players too. They are very exciting to watch. How do you feel about the game?
Chelsea, I don't know whether I'll give kudos to their resilience for coming back or be like, why do they have these very off days like they had in the first half? Because you see them. Second half looks a lot like how they played Arsenal. But first half looks like some other games we've seen them this season when they just look off the tempo, way off the pace. Like Newcastle absolutely bullied them in the first half, especially with the midfield. And of course Palmer is one of the best players in the league. If he's fit, he has to start. But I think he looked a little bit lightweight in the first half. And what's his name again? Bruno and Cole. Keep forgetting his name. Tonali. Tonali and Bruno Tonali and what's the third guy's name? But yeah, they are running through them the first half completely. And I feel like they probably should have scored more than two.
Oh, wow.
Shooting boots right. This Anthony Gordon, while they were losing that midfield battle, normally I would see Maresca ask Gusto to start inverting to give them numbers, but he didn't. I think that might be because of Gordon. Maybe I think he stayed inverting more at the 38th minute. And you could tell he improved. But then again, I don't know how much of that is due to Newcastle getting tired eventually.
Right.
So the start of, and that might be part of the issues why they struggle to hold leads, because I'm in the Premier League, I think they've lost drop point from winning positions the most. It might have something to do with how intense they start.
No, guys, when you go to St. James's Park, that first half, they are just on trouble, bro.
They go crazy. Then they drop off a lot in the second half. And
second half, yeah.
Let teams come back on them. Because first of all, teams will always react in the second half. And then if you're not at that level physically that you were at, that might hurt you.
Yeah.
Similar thing happened versus Arsenal. We ended up winning the game. But, yeah, the first half was all Newcastle, easy. I don't think James was as good in the middle of the park as he was against Arsenal. Even we're all gonna remember the free kick, but I don't think he was that good in midfield. I think he was better when he moved to the right back, and he made some very, very crucial tackles. But of course, I don't think it was bad either. But generally, I don't think their midfield was that great. I saw James and Cancelo lose the ball to Newcastle midfielders a lot in the first half, misplaced passes and everything. But that was more of the entire Chelsea just struggling to deal with Newcastle's physicality. Wotamada, he's been a good signing. Coming from a Arsenal fan, like I say that with a little bit of jealousy. But yeah, we move. Your careers will shame them soon. But second half, Chelsea came out firing. The Palmer, who I felt was a bit lightweight in the first half, he actually threw a foul in the second half, which led to James scoring the banger of a free kick. The boy is talented, yeah. I can't lie.
Yeah, bro, that free kick. I mean, I think part of Newcastle's problem also, sorry to say, it might be Ramsdale, bro. That guy, anytime I see that guy and go, I'm just like, bro, who buys this guy, bro? Because
that was a good free kick, though.
No, the free kick, nothing against the free kick. I'm not hitting on the free kick. He hit the bar, he went in. It was a perfect free kick. But it's Ramsdale, bro. And I know Ramsdale. That guy is he can make the most amazing save, and the next time he'll punch the ball into the net. Like, that is the level that I just see Ramsdale at. And him being their first keeper, like, I think Nick Pope used to be way better. I don't know if he's injured right now, but yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I feel like Ramsdale has that ability of just looking like, yeah, maybe he could have. He just looked like it might be his fault.
You know, attackers are probably not even scared of him. Because when I saw that one-on-one that João Pedro finished, like, you know, he just looks so, like, Ramsdale just looked, like, so hopeless. Obviously, it's a one-on-one. João Pedro is a good attacker, you know. It was a nice finish. But it's like, I would rather have, like, you know, Emi Martinez or Donnarumma or even Raya, you know. Those guys, I would rather have them, like, rushing out to an attacker. You know, that I feel like that would impose more fear. Rather than in Ramsdale.
I feel like the aura part of defending and goalkeeping is often understated. I think it's a part of the skill level.
The part of the skill level, because if he cuts something is fitting goal, bro, you will be looking, guy, where will I play this ball, bro? When you see Ramsdale, you're chipping that nigga, man. Like,
you see some keepers, and they probably give the attackers some level of confidence that makes them do crazy things. That on maybe against another keeper like a Buffon or a Courtois, they might not be able to because of their lacking confidence. But just having a presence in that post or defending your 18 is a big plus, which is why I think Ramsdale lacks, because like, yeah, kind of like I think there was a point in his Chelsea career, Kepa, where you just see Kepa, just fire long range shots. He was just costing long range efforts, like back to back to back.
So that's just my thing with Ramsdale, but you know, he's doing his thing. I can't hate. He's no more at my club, so we can move on.
But yeah, I think Newcastle needs to figure out this their second half rather, and maybe, because I don't know if they're making top four this season. Chelsea's in fourth right now.
I mean, I really didn't see Newcastle making top four. I think at the end of the day, realistically, it was top six that had them. I think I had them like sixth, maybe. Between them and Villa, you know, fifth and sixth. So we'll see. We'll see how the season plays out for both of them.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I have Chelsea. I have Chelsea making third, but. Given the after the Arsenal game, their run of their results after then kind of put some doubt in me. But they actually fought now. I'm a bit surprised, but maybe that's because of their.
Oh, see, I had Chelsea fourth in my prediction. Yeah. And then I think I had Villa fifth and Newcastle sixth. So.
Yeah. It's a good time to move on to the last game. Whoa, man. These guys might be for real, though.
They can be for real, but at the same time, I don't know. It's just something about Emery that has also scarred me from Arsenal. Like, I think Emery is a very good manager. He knows how to win, like, trophies. He's actually a great manager. My only thing about it is just right now, like, it seems like he's been able to figure stuff out to Aston Villa, which, realistically, I don't know if it's just Morgan Rodgers that is saving him, you know, this past couple games. But, I mean, overall, I think they've played very well. They know how to play different styles of football as a team. And they actually have quality players, like, you know, surprisingly, like, you know, the Tillemans, the Amadou Onana in midfield. So it's like, and even, you know, Morgan Rodgers that be scoring the bangers and stuff. So I don't rate some of their players as much, all these like Watkins, but it seems like, you know, they still find a way to get the job done. Even that camera guy in midfield for them is another person I've been looking like the guy is not, I guess it's not the best, but he's just a good all-rounder. Like in every game that I've seen him, he's always just popping up in spaces and just doing all these dirty jobs. And I'm like, wow. These guys are actually like solid in midfield, like more solid than I even thought. So if they can keep it up, definitely, like these, their wins have been, they've been a little bit like fortunate, if I'm being honest. But at the same time,
I said they've been losing on XG in their past couple of games. I don't think they did in this game.
Chances like that, yeah. But I mean, they create chances, but it's just sad that it goes to Watkins and. More times than not, you know, he's not taking the chance. So I think, you know, if they had a better, like if John Duran was still there, I'll probably be more scared of them. Right now, the only reason is just because I feel like maybe they don't have enough players to keep this going.
Yeah, Rodgers. I feel like that's the reason why they're winning.
That's the reason why they're winning, honestly. So yeah, it's like, because outside of Rodgers, I don't see any, but I mean, Rodgers, Tillemans, maybe that their midfield trio. Yeah, I rate them. But all that defense, I don't even know how they've been keeping clean sheets, honestly. Like, maybe it's Demi Martinez too. That guy is pretty good at trying to come. So
they concede, though. They concede a lot of chances. That's the thing. They actually do concede a lot of chances.
This guy be saving them.
Yeah,
it's probably Demi Martinez, because I don't think their defenders are that great too. But Man U played very exciting football today. I'm lucky, actually, enjoying United games more than Arsenal games in recent times, to be fair, because it's like,
but that's the question, though. Do you want entertainment or do you want wins?
I mean, I take what I can get. I want the wins, obviously. But entertainment is a huge part of the sport. I'm not coming here to just, don't be me, they carry the trophy now. Take that trophy, bro.
As an Arsenal fan, I've enjoyed enough entertainment. I want to win trophy.
But just watching Man U's game, it just seems like, you know, watching Cunha on the ball is very exciting. Every time I see Cunha on the ball, I see Mount on the ball. I'm like, these guys are actually, they are playing nice. I think they just have inconsistency in terms of like where, I think them, their problem is the opposite of Arsenal in terms that their defense, they don't understand how to like build up appropriately. They do it maybe too quick. They give their balls to the attacker. They are not as solid. They don't have a solid core. But once they get past that midfield line, they are gunning, bro. Like I saw the amount of chances Cunha took, the amount of spaces that, you know, Mount was able to create. So yeah, and even their wide players, like their white players were having some joy too. So overall, I think Cunha was my standout man in that match. Even though Roger, I mean, I'll give it to Rogers because he scored the two bangers. On the Man U side, I think Cunha could have had more joy if he had better quality players around him. But yeah, that's my take on the game. Obodo, how do you see Man's game?
I think we played well. I think it seems like the way he's starting to play is suiting our players better. Because they are way more attacking. It seems like they're actually trying and it's making more sense. I mean, we also were the second highest goal scoring team in the league,
Your second.
So I mean, there are some clearly some improvements that he's done. Think our midfield is still a problem, but I wouldn't say our midfield was too much of a problem in this game. I think it was more just defenders weren't really on it. Our centre backs mostly. I'll say Euro. He's young. He's like what's 19, so it's fair. I'm not really going to be annoyed with him. There are mistakes that he will make. I think we're having like a mini injury crisis right now. Plus unavailability. Mbeumo, Ahmad, Mazraoui gone. Maguire injured, De Ligt injured, Casemiro was suspended for this game. Mainoo, that was supposed to start his actual first Premier League starts, is injured. Bruno, that never injures, got injured in the middle of the game. So, anyway, it's a lot that we're dealing with. But I'm not bad. I'm not mad. I didn't really expect to beat Villa. But watching the game was like we could have beaten Villa. So I'm okay with the loss. I think I just want to see the consistency of the team really this season. I'm not expecting, like I said, my realistic goal for the team at the end of the season as it is top eight, So as long as we work on being consistent with our performances, I think it will work out.
I have a question though. Yeah, it's seeming like, because I was looking at Heaven Euro, and it looks like that Heaven boy is like their senior defender at this point. It looks like the most senior defender. It was kind of surprising. And I was like, wow, isn't this the Arsenal boy? I mean, Chidobe didn't get his chance to play too. But just seeing our academy players stepping up to be
Time.
senior players in Man, it was a positive. It's like I was watching, some of my boys too. Do you feel like, in terms of rating though, do you think Euro is better than Heaven?
I think I don't know. I can't confidently say that. I think they are both kind of Euro definitely has more stats and more game time. But we also spent 50 million on him, so
I feel like I've been seeing Heaven recently more though than
yeah,
Euro. Like in the
because
last game, Euro has been.
our centre backs are injured. De Ligt is not there, Maguire is not there, like who
I think
else?
I've been like I think it was the last game as Euro was on the bench while Heaven was playing. That kind of surprised me. That's interesting.
Yeah, but that's because he plays. Heaven mostly plays, because we have three centre backs now. Heaven plays CCB, so central centre back. Euro is more on the right back, so he could rotate that position with Mazraoui, but Mazraoui is not here because of AFCON. So
Oh, so they're not direct competitors.
not directly, no.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But I like what Ope said about having opposite problems with Arsenal, in the sense that it looks like Man U has a way of turning games into basketball, and I think Arsenal over controls games to most of their detriment. So it's like complete lack of control, and anybody can win free for all versus over the control. That's where you're at the, I'm like, guy, I can't score goal. You don't control the match.
It
I'm
could
pressure
be.
up.
I mean, I think sometimes it depends on who you're playing. Because in all those games where there's chaos, is It's all about quality of the chances you take. Like, if you take your chances when there's chaos, bro, you score. And, you know, and I think Man U plays into that because, yeah, they know they have, like, you know, quality players that if you make a mistake, you saw with Konya, small mistake, casual slipping, boom, go ball. Like, so when you have that kind of, and that's what I was expecting from Arsenal more, like in these recent times when we have, like, bro, we have Eze, we have Gyökeres, like, these are like gunmen. These are guys that should be banging. I expect bagsmen, and now I'm still waiting for Merino to come back. Like, it's sad, but hopefully we become better.
Okay, but I mean, honestly, I think I still prefer the Guardiola way. I want my team to control games, exact complete dominance, and score. That's it. I think we need to just do better in terms of getting the ball, keeping the ball in the opponent's half, and keep firing shots. But for Man U, I think they actually need. I think that's what they want. I think they want eventually to get to a level where they can control games better. I don't think Amorim is completely happy with the way. It just seems like anybody could score. The opposition could score, and my team can score. I feel like he probably wants someone that can help them get control of the tempo of games. You know, at least for maybe not eight, it's impossible to control a game for 90 minutes. Maybe at least for the most part.
We're looking into Neves, but the thing about I heard Real Madrid is also looking into Neves, so
Anyway, for wait, the yo Morgan Rogers though, one more. Is he recently biased or is he trying to win PFA Play of the
I don't even know if it's just PFA also or if it's even World Cup because the comments that they are pushing now, is it might not
Year?
enter World Cup squad though. With the way things are going. Eh?
Well, Bellingham
I thought they had
scored.
a clear chance, but right now, the only Arsenal player that I think will make it, you know, Rice, Saka, okay. But outside of those two, yeah, like, because the shouts that they were making, like what the commentators were saying about Rodgers, they were just like, you know, we're going to see more of this in the World Cup. That kind of
Glazing.
comment, yeah, glazing this guy already is like, man, I don't see how he's not going to start over like Eze. Or, I mean, I guess it's the other people that are competing with him are Foden and Bellingham.
Bellingham, yeah. So it's and Palmer. It's
Oh,
I
Palmer
think
too in that
it's
shot. I mean, Palmer, I think, isn't Palmer and Saka now? That is the shout now. Or is it can't be Palmer in the shout
it's
for
Palmer.
10s too. He's a right winger more of, I would say.
No, he's 10. What I've heard, at least from reports, I think the competition for 10 is Bellingham, Rodgers, Palmer, and Foden. I think Saka has the
Four
right to win.
people, and then so who is competing for right wing? Just Saka. So is locked down Saka now.
Saka and Bowen, but I think Saka will start. I think Tuchel likes Saka a lot. I don't
Saying
think
like
I think he likes I
a
think he likes
Saka
like
Palmer thing on right wing, as opposed to Palmer entering the conversation for 10. Because who is their left winger?
The left wing is where Eze might have some joy. I don't think Eze is a cam for England. I think he's going to be a left winger. So it's between I think it's between
No, but
Eze
that
and
left wing,
Bellingham.
that's what I'm saying. That's where Rodgers plays. Rodgers does not, he's not just too central. He cuts in off of the left wing, yeah. He's literally like an 80 type player too, where it's like they play on the left wing, but they cut in and do their whole 10-10. So that's why I'm like, bro, if you had to pick between Eze and Rodgers right now,
Rogers
man,
now.
Rodgers not
Competition.
it's yeah.
But the friendly games I saw, Rogers started as the 10, and Rashford was playing the left wing with Saka on the right. But I mean, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry. I was saying, yeah, Rashford too is in contention for that left turn. So, but
Well,
yeah, we'll see. It's a good problem to have.
The guy is firing on all cylinders, and yeah, but Manu has been hit by AFCON though, so I think that is a factor. And I was gonna ask Namdi, I wonder how long Bruno will be out for because that would be a huge miss.
apparently I heard it's gonna be, it could be a couple weeks. Cause I mean, once I hear hamstring, I'm at least 3 weeks, bro. Like, before you can actually come back. And they say he was actually feeling it before the game. And then they still started him anyway. And I think he ended up pulling it. That's why he had to leave. So it's like, and if you've ever had that hamstring problem, bro, that shit is, muscle problems are terrible, bro. Like, you don't know if it has healed up until you run again. So, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, he tried to keep playing on after in the first half. So I was like, nah, it's probably like cramps or something, because I'm a hamstring and try a strong man. Hamstring and he kept playing. You almost got safe.
In doubt before the game and he still played. Bro, that is scary, bro. I think even for the second goal, I was watching the highlights. I think part of it was, you know, he couldn't run as much anymore because maybe he was just scared of like sprinting, and it was shortly after they subbed him. But that was when this guy scored the second goal. Like right when, or was it his first goal? Right when the stroke of halftime, they had the ball in midfield. I think someone was already pushing up to Magin, and all Bruno had to do was apply the pressure from the other way. And Magin just turned and gave her that's the ball and boom. Boom. So,
Anyway, for talking about people that are competing with Rogers for the number 10 spot, Foden and his City boys, I didn't expect much from West Ham, held on to little hope, but those hopes were quickly dashed as the match started because Haaland scored a very early goal. And I expected it to be a rout from then on. But actually, 3-0 to me was surprising. I wanted it to be more than that. Huh? Yeah, City completely dominated that game.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I don't see much of that game. Haaland brace, you know. Who scored the third goal? I don't remember.
Yes. And Cherki, Reinders scored one of the goals.
Yeah, Reinders scored the third goal.
Yeah. And bro, Cherki was just decimating his people, bro. Like, the way this guy was moving, he was even making, even Haaland too has entered this tiki-taka way. I think Cherki is low-key bringing back, like, you know, that intricate play into the Man City. Yeah, that flare into the Man City. Because what I see them doing now, bro, they pass the ball through the middle. They are not just going wide. They will enter inside your box and do the tiki-taka in between you. Like, if the goal that they give, bro, that ball that he gave Haaland and then Haaland gave Reinders, bro, I was like, inside the box, this is what you are doing, bro. It's been so long since I saw Arsenal do stuff like that, if I'm being honest. Having someone dribble inside the wing, you know, do tiki-taka inside. Like, we don't do that. And I'm like, yeah. These guys... He's supposed to move him because, bro, in that Reinders goal, he literally walked the ball into the net. Like, he was in front of the keeper. Yeah, he just blasted it, bro. Like, that's how I expect. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, City is scary, bro. City is scary.
It seems to have really clicked in attack. They seem to have really, really clicked, especially in attack. And Cherki is just, he's literally dominating. He's literally dictating things. He has turned into the metronome, the main, like, author of the attack. Like, he's balling.
And I think, honestly, that's how Odegaard should be, because I think part of it that boils into that kind of player, at least just from my opinion, is like, you know, these are players that they are not looking to look for starts or look for goal. And it's like the other players around them to have an idea. So they are always willing to give them the ball back and play around them. Yeah. So it's like, it's not like, oh, Cherki will give you the ball back and you start. No, you give him back because you know if you give him back and he lays the through ball to you, bro, you are going to score, man. So, and I think... Yeah. That's what we need Odegaard to do more. And maybe he's just too deep to be doing that. Maybe he needs to be higher up. But I'll be seeing Cherki get all the way into the box. Yeah. But we'll see.
No. Anyway, yeah, City dominated. I don't think we need to dwell on that game that long, because right now they are, in my opinion, do you think they are, it's far-fetched to call them favorites for the league title now?
To call them who? Favorites? I mean, from the time I won't say favorites because we can't say they are favorites. Like, as an Arsenal fan, they are still... I still think, like, you know, Arsenal still has a chance as long as we just keep winning. We just have to keep winning. And at least the one positive, like you said, like Saliba coming back and was good in the game. That's kind of like calmed me down a little bit. Because if we started this game with that Wolves defense that we played, that, bro, I don't even know. I can't keep watching stuff like that. So, and hopefully, you know, Gabriel apparently is supposed to be coming back like by the end of the year too, or maybe very early next year. So I think if we can just make it through these Christmas games, when I think we are still favorites at this point, up until when we draw a game. And so
I think City, I think they're the strongest team now for one reason, because I think with our full defense back, I think we're the best team. But I think the difference between the solidity is a lot if we have our full team, our defense and everything. But I've always thought they had a better attack. But I think now the difference between the both attacks is a lot more than the difference between both defenses at this moment in time.
Right, right.
I think they're the best team.
I mean, that's fair.
So, but I also feel like our attack has not reached its peak yet, because if we're firing at all, in like an all cylinders, I don't think we have as good an attack as they do. But I don't think it's far away if all of our players are playing to their level.
Our City's attack, City's attack reached their peak too. Is this City's peak? Because
the only thing I like.
If Shaggy starts banging R2, it's over, bro. It's over for us, bro. Because right now, you don't even be shooting. That guy just be passing. If Shaggy should start banging R2, Doku is banging his R2 too. Wrap it up, bro. I don't see any coming from that.
Haaland is peak already. Shaggy, I don't think Shaggy is a... too much of a goal scorer. Like, he'll score goals, you give one or two, but it's not as if he's
Foden too is firing, bro.
That's Foden. Foden is the one that's firing. That's why I think close to peak. Like, this is we're almost getting Foden off 2 seasons ago. He's balling right now. So I don't know what more I can expect. I don't think Sherrick is ever going to be turned into a goal scorer. And I think Doku will give you one mad performance out of like five. Like you flick.
I mean that,
like, so.
I also don't think you haven't seen. I don't think you. I mean, their midfield seems to be clicking now, but I don't think you've seen the best of Reinders yet. I think that is still another wild card.
I'm talking about attack.
It's part of their attack now. okay. Yeah. I guess, yeah. But in my opinion, Reinders is an attacking midfielder. Like, he's very good.
But he's playing well, though. What does he want to do? He's playing well, though.
I mean, he scored goals, but he missed. Bro, he had like 3 chances in that game where, guy, if not for the keeper, he banged one shot like this. I don't even know how the keeper saved it, bro. It was like, Jesus Christ.
I think City's attack is really remarkable. I don't know if there's more to come. Maybe, but I don't think Arsenal's attack has really woken up for the season yet. I think we're still sleeping.
I think it's probably the way City is playing right now. And if City should enter any more gear after this one that I've seen now.
it's over. Anyway, though, I guess the play of that, well, the man of the match for that West Ham is easy. It's Haaland. Yeah, do you disagree? Haaland or Cherky? One of the two.
Definitely.
Also, Nunez was good. I'll give him that.
Oh yeah, Matheus Nunez. Right.
Mm-hmm. For Liverpool versus Tottenham. That game, I don't know whether I should be like, why are you all struggling against 9 men? Or why did you lose 2 of your players to red cards, like, in the first place? Because when the match started, 2 of them looked nervous. I'm like, because I thought it was an easy win for, like, Liverpool, given that Tottenham has been, like, ass at home.
But you thought it's an easy win for Liverpool?
Yeah, because Tottenham has been terrible at home. They won like one or two games at home all season. Yeah, but yeah, they both started very weird. Then, when they got the red card, when Tottenham got the red card, of course Liverpool became a bit better. But then that lasted for like a few minutes. All of a sudden, Tottenham looked more likely to score when they were one man down. So I was like, huh. But I mean, Liverpool ends up scoring a goal. They dominate for the most part till Richarlison comes in. Richarlison just changed the entire game.
Yeah, I think that Liverpool, I don't think they've still sorted their defensive problems. And the second thing is, Frimpong is one of the most confusing buys I've seen this season. Like, I'm still confused at what. Like, I guess he can play as a winger, but I think he's very much suited to maybe the way Leverkusen was playing. Because even when I see him on the wing, I mean, he's good, but I don't know. He's not like a player that is so good, I have to start him on the wing, unless he's playing like his wing back role, dropping back. And I don't think he's that great defensively, too. So it's like, yeah. He's just the outlier there, and I still don't think Liverpool has like figured out their defensive issues, because they still seem to be conceding.
Yeah, Konate put out a few fires. Put out a few fires. Individually they tried, but as a unit, yeah, they still lack confidence. Even they still lack confidence as a team. That's obvious. But yeah, Isak's got a good goal, sha. Even though he paid for it with. with his leg. Why am I laughing? That's sad. I don't know this guy that should have been a red card. I don't understand. Just because he scored, they just let it go.
No, it's not a red card.
There's
though.
No one even. Guy, it's not a red card. That was dangerous.
I don't.
His leg was wrapped. Okay, it's a yellow card. Like he had his two legs like wrapped around this thing. That's like a leg breaker.
If you're the one that kicks the ball, is who initiates the contact. I think in that situation, Isak's leg was not just strong, because it's the one that initiated the contact. He's the one that shot the ball now. His leg no longer reach. And, you know, when you clatter into somebody, yeah, it's just sad. I don't think that guy, honestly, has even seen a full season ever in Premier League without, like, injury problems. So,
I don't know. I disagree, Sha. Because when you shot that ball, Van der Veen slides like slid in and caught his leg in between his legs. Like, I don't know if his leg is about him. His leg not being strong, Sha. Because Omo, he looked dangerous when I even saw it. I was like, ah, this guy, if you don't break his leg.
Have you seen Van der Veen moving before? That guy is one of the scariest center backs in Premier. That guy is scarier than Van Dijk. He's scarier than anybody, bro. Van der Veen, that is the fastest center back. I think it's like 6'4", 6'6". That guy's a unit, though.
Maybe he didn't mean it, though. Maybe, but I just feel like a yellow card would have been necessary, because I think it was dangerous. I think it was a bit dangerous.
But they still have Ekitike, so...
Yeah, Ekitike's goal was also nice. That's a striker, man. That's a striker. All that talk about Sesko. Like, why are we even arguing about Sesko and Gyökeres? I'm like, Ekitike was there, B.
Yeah. Literally.
Maybe Arsenal gets him, but that's
maybe.
Maybe they did not think they could get him.
They didn't. Why Sesko. Yeah. I think it was more expensive than Sesko, though.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was closer to like 100 million, I think. And I think even part of it, they bought him as a left winger. So this one that is playing as a striker. In my opinion, it was Isak that was their striker, and this guy was replacing Diaz on the left wing, Ekitike.
But as a starter rotation option?
As a rotation option, because he's younger, and if Gakpo is still playing. But now that Gakpo is, I don't know, injured, Isak is out, Salah is out, like, it's like, Ekitike seems to be their golden egg now. So, and the guy is balling, man. He's cold. I have to give
him
his props.
Yeah. Liverpool and that team suffering from a lack of the ability to actually control games. So they don't seem to have the composure required to actually control games. McAllister is not been at his last season form. Gravenberch is also not been at his best too. So they are having those issues, because I don't understand how you're struggling to control the game when you're outnumbering your opponent. It might seem
two players down. Yeah, these guys were still pressing them, bro.
It was a weird sight, especially when they even lost an extra person. It was now nine men. I mean, Charleston, that guy is a madman. Oh my god. Charleston is mad. I don't rate him that much as a footballer, but he can have an impact. He's somebody that he can just do anything. he's interesting. But for some reason, he's one of the most prosy players, because no great moment he has ever seems to like amount in any actual, like, because you lose the game, but score one mad banger. Like, oh my god, Richarlison.
They lose the game, bro. Like, I don't even know, bro. Like, Richarlison is, yeah, I've seen him score more bangers than normal goals. Like, see Richarlison scoring bicycle kicks, scoring goals from midfield. Ah. And then, you know, it would be a 3-1 game. He might even get man of the match. But
Richarlison is the quintessential, you lost the game, but you won our hearts player. Because I don't think you need to win the game. In any game.
To hit on the guy before. But those kind of players that they are just doggy, they are just nasty, bro. Like, sometimes I like having them on my team. Like, it's reminding me of the Diego Costa days. When I used to hate this guy so much, but I was begging, like, bro, let's get somebody like this Costa to just be annoying defenders and just putting them on a shit show.
Costa is, like, at least used to win games, the winner. Richarlison is just the easy.
For vibes.
Is a great. Knows how to lose bravely. That's the thing. He's a brave loser. Not to lose bravely. That's just
it. You beat me, but guy, it's not be an easy fight. It's all these kind of guys that you go fight with them, they go scratch your body. If you beat them, but guy, the mark that will be on your body. for sure.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. But yeah, he was wrecking havoc on Liverpool. I was actually hoping he would equalize. I was like, guy, let it just be 2-2. Let me see. I want to see the scenes when this match ends 2-2 versus 9-2. That would have been crazy. I thought for a second I forgot they were Tottenham, and I believe they will actually do it.
For a second. I forgot they were Tottenham. Spurs go, Spurs, bro. They're going to do their thing.
I don't know. Thomas Frank, I'm of the opinion, like, give him time. I think he's a good manager. It will be. They came 17th last season, so I don't think the conversations about his job have any weight to it, because guy, I just think they just need to calm down, because they are a very, very chaotic team last year. So it's gonna
definitely
take some work. But yeah, Liverpool still looks very fragile mentally. They got their result. They got 3 points. So I guess we'll see how they keep progressing without Salah. Now Salah is in AFCON.
Abi Salah was their problem. He has gone.
I mean, they won the game. So right now we'll reserve our criticism.
Our comments. Yeah.
But talking about AFCON, were you able to catch the first game today?
Oh, actually, nah, even at the start, I thought it was during the week. Who played today? Did Nigeria play?
It was Morocco game.
Okay, that's right. I actually didn't catch it. I know what the game. I mean, it's probably Morocco that win that shit, bro. I didn't know the host nation too.
I don't think I heard you.
I was saying like, it's probably Morocco that will win AFCON too now. I didn't know the host nation.
Why do I keep hearing the end of your speech?
Already hitting the 1 hour mark, and that's the problem with. Sometimes my phone just acts up. We wrap up, man. Honestly,
the internet was that's the problem.
Yeah.
So okay, I watched the Morocco game, Sha. It was a fitting opener to the AFCON, because they scored a very nice goal. It's called a bicycle kick, but the game. Morocco dominated the game, like 70% possession against Comoros. It wasn't, I would say it was the most brilliant of matches, but yeah, Morocco seemed to, at least they won, but they seemed to struggle to create clear-cut chances. Comoros are defending well, but Brahim Diaz scored the first goal, and the second goal was a beauty. A bicycle kick from across, from middle of the pitch. I'm trying to remember the player's name who scored the bicycle kick, but it was a very, very nice goal. Let me see. It was a mad bicycle kick guy. Do you use the bicycle kick?
I didn't know it had started. Like, I didn't even, I thought it was during the week that it was starting. I hear my voice now, and it's still.
It was El Kabi. El Kabi scored the bicycle kick today.
Oh, he's in Ajax or something. He's in La Liga. I think I've heard that guy in like Villarreal or something before. Maybe we'll just wrap up. It's like, can you hear me now?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a nice game. We'll keep covering the rest of the AFCON. I know Nigeria plays on Tuesday. Well, Morocco are the part of the host and they won their first game. I know they're going to be amongst the favorites for sure. Well, hopefully our own boys are able to do something. We can only hope. Well, yeah, it was a decent opening to the AFCON. We'll keep up with the rest. And I guess it was a nice conversation up there. It was a nice Premier League weekend. At least Arsenal is still first, leading by 2 points. Long may it continue, so our haters can keep hoping.
They can keep hate watching
for them.
All right, now,
Eddie Broski, peace out. And okay, actually, let me give my closing speech. I keep forgetting, guys. It was a nice conversation. Make sure you give us your opinions, comments, like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications and follow us on all media platforms. We'll keep giving you football content. Cheers. Five aside. Hey. Oh, five aside. Come on. Get up on inside. Oh.